of people out there. Yeah, I haven't always been a children's pastor. Before that, I was a science technician. So that meant I used to work in schools, providing everything that the teachers needed to do their practical lessons. So I worked at a number of schools, so I won't tell you where this testimony has come from. And I started in this new school, and there was obvious that there had been some problems with one of the teachers. She hadn't actually spoken to my predecessor for 6 months. They refused to work together. Mediation hadn't worked. They just couldn't even be in the same room. So anyway, it was quite apparent why this was. She was a very difficult lady. First time I met her, all she said was very negative things, running everybody down, complaining about everything, swearing like nobody's business. I've not heard men swear like that, but the way she strung those words together was interesting. And I was thinking, how can I work with this lady? How can I give a positive witness in this environment? I prayed about it. I got the whole house group praying about it. It was a real big issue for me at the time. Anyway, I said to the Lord, I said, can you just help me see her the way that you see her? So instead of seeing somebody that was aggressive, abrasive, rude, I saw somebody that was hurting. I thought, I've got to make that effort really to spend time with her. She didn't really mix with other members of staff, but she only had her dinner once a week in the school. So I thought, well, there's one other person that would sit with her. She sat in a different room to the rest of the staff. And so I thought, I'll join them. So once a week I had dinner with her, got to know her, got to see a bit more about her inner heart. It was lovely. She did have some really nice qualities. Our friendship grew, and I will say, we did become friends. I didn't think I'd be able to work with her, and that is only an answer to prayer. And I could share testimony. So she wasn't surprised when she heard I was working as a children's pastor. She heard my whole story. I could give that witness to her. She listened. You know, when you come close to somebody, you get their ear, and they will listen to what you say, whether they agree with it or not. And we're still friends now. The last time I met with her, we had lunch. She bought me a meal, insisted on paying, and she didn't swear the whole time. It was absolutely amazing. And I can just see that little sort of change in her life. And I remember there was one time I was really up against it. I was going in early, I was finishing late, had some real things that I had to deal with. And there was a card and a present on my desk, and it was her. She'd noticed, and it was just a lovely gesture of kindness. So, yeah. So, yeah. I just want to see, you know, it's easy to witness to people that you like. It's easy to spend time with people that are like you and that you get on well with and you have a good time with. But in spending time with her, I realised that love came out of service, and to do small things with great love, and that made a difference in her life. And mine. Thank you.
Thank you. That's great. Sally, let's hear perhaps about a different type of environment.
I think most of you know I work as a HR manager for a Japanese automotive company. I originally took the job as a six-month contract because I was adamant I did not want to go back into automotives. So I thought I'll do it for 6 months. I've been there just over 4 years now. So it would appear that God put me there. The company that I work for is quite a gritty factory. It's quite an inner city factory, and I've dealt with pretty much every social issue under the sun since I've been there. And it was a real challenge at the first point I went there, being the only Christian. There was a lot of swearing, there was a lot of arguing in the office, there still is. But they actually don't swear in front of me, which shows one thing straight away, that they know where my boundaries are. And someone came up to me a couple of weeks ago, because the site is actually in quite a serious situation at the moment and things are very stressful. And he just came up to me and he just said, Sally, I'm coming to talk to you because you are the only person in this place I trust to tell me the truth. And I thought, wow, God, you know, I can see where you're using me, even during the tough times. But one of the things I wanted, well, there's two things I wanted to share. The first one is, when I joined there, they were extremely anti-charity. So when I mentioned that I went on charity trips with my church, which was the way that I described it, a everybody said to me, oh my goodness, I wouldn't bother. Why do you bother? Don't give anything for free. Real difficult attitude. So last year I decided, right, I'm going to try and change this. So I put an advert out to ask our employees if they would give us Easter eggs for children in Birmingham who were sick in hospital or in hospices during Easter. To be honest with you, I did it and I didn't really expect anyone to take part. So that was me with not much faith. Actually, what happened was these lads in the factory, every morning I would come in and there were Easter eggs stacked up under my desk. There were bin bags full of them. The lads were coming up to me saying, when's the closing date? When can I buy an Easter egg? And actually, the first year I did it, we had just over 100 Easter eggs donated. If I tell you there were only 60 staff, you'll get an idea of how that worked. So I decided to do it again last year because actually these lads in the factory were coming up to me and saying, Sally, when are we doing the Easter eggs again? Because they're on offer at the moment. So I said, okay, let's do it again. You've got to bear in mind, these are lads who've worked in factories their whole life and who, when I joined, really ridiculed me for doing charity work. This year we had over, I think we had 137 Easter eggs donated this year. And I asked them to come and stand in a photograph with the Easter eggs. And I have never seen these men look so proud. So it was just really encouraging that actually we're changing the culture there. And the second testimony that I have, one of the challenges that I have in this company is that they didn't want any female managers. There was never a female manager in the whole of the company. And in April, I decided to fight my case. So I am actually the only female now on the management team, which puts me in quite a good position. Last year, as many of you know, I felt that I should go to Tanzania with Tear Fund and volunteer with children. And I was also due to go with SCF to Guyana. So I basically needed 12 weeks off. I work for a company who don't allow special leave, they don't allow flexibility, and they don't like you to take time off at all. So I felt that God was telling me to resign. So I duly gave my notice in, my 8 weeks notice, and thought that was that. Thought, okay, I've been obedient. I had no idea what I was going to do financially because all my savings were going on my trips, but I thought, okay, I've done it. I was called into a meeting the next day by my managing director who said, actually, you've really baffled us because we don't have any policy to allow you to do this annual leave, so I can't allow you 12 weeks off unpaid, but we don't want to lose you. So we're going to change the policy and we're going to add a section for special leave specifically for charity work. If you promise you'll come back. So I said, okay. I actually rewrote the policy last June, which in over 100 years of my company being in operation globally, it's now been distributed and rolled out globally that people who want to do charity work can take unpaid leave. Just to add on to that, many of you heard that testimony, but what actually happened afterwards is a few weeks ago, I've been mentoring one of the younger girls in my office because she's struggling with an all-male environment and she's just finding it really difficult with the atmosphere. And she came up to me a month ago and she said, I have never met anybody who's done anything for charity before I met you. And she said, I'd really like to do something, but I've never travelled. And I said, well, where do you want to go? And she said, I don't know. I said, well, narrow it down. She said, okay, Africa. So I said, okay. So I went on the internet. And bearing in mind, she's not a Christian yet. Yet. So she's now going off to Uganda. We booked her flights on Friday. She is using the policy that I wrote last year. She's having 3 weeks off to volunteer in a children's home, and she's asked the office to donate to her trip. So I just wanted to share it because, gosh. You know, there are days in this job that I think I'm having absolutely no effect whatsoever. And I thought it was a testimony just that we rewrote that policy last year, but what I didn't realise is that's now playing out. And Sarah, the girl who I'm kind of mentoring, is off to Uganda in March. She's going to volunteer for 3 weeks. I've booked her flight with her. And who knows what will happen to her. But we've now got two people. And we've also added a charity section to our newsletter as well now. Because actually, people are using this policy.
Hallelujah. Wonderful. June?
I'm quite a fearful person, so I'm very nervous right now. And but work is the place where I experiment with my fear. and then I get to enjoy in great fear, and then I get to see God help me overcome the fear. So there has been a. I'll try to keep it short because 5 minutes. So yes, there has been a time where I prayed for. I tried to pray for. Every man I found sick. So I pray for them. I haven't seen an immediate healing yet, just yet. There was a time I prayed, there was a guy who broke his ankle, fell off his bike in front of our office, and then ambulance came. And then I went in the ambulance, the paramedics were there, they were looking at me, why is he there? And I prayed for him on his ankle. But he hasn't come in for 30 days ever since. But through those experiences, I think God is. I after I've done that, I don't feel fear and I don't question. I just enjoyed the opportunity to pray for him, like, because God's heart is to heal the sick. So, and there was one occasion. I was okay. I was fasting when I first started work, but I didn't want. To be seen as a crazy person, and I knew at the company because I was doing an internship in the company that when a newcomer comes in, we have a welcoming lunch together, and that day happened to be Tuesday when I was doing fasting, and then I was in such a great fear. What should I tell them? I don't want to tell them I'm fasting, and I don't want to be seen as a religious man. Am I being a religious man? Instead of just loving them and doing an excellent work, I was in such a fear. And then, you know, as I was a newcomer, the IT man had to set up all the accounts in my computer. I was looking over the screen as he was doing. And I was constantly asking God, am I doing it right? Is this right that I'm fasting? Just tell me something. If you tell me something, then I will be settled. You know, if men says something against me, it's okay if I'm sure that God has spoken to me. And then the guy was typing his login ID for his email. You know, there's a first blank for login ID and then the password. But for some reason, when he typed his login ID, it didn't type in. So when where he had to put his login ID, he was putting his password. And his password was saying, I still remember the moment, every bit that it was typed. Jesus loves. That was his ID, his password. Password. So for me, the answer, it was an answer that Jesus was loving that what I was doing. So in my weakness, there was, God is amazing. And the main testimony is that, because I don't have time, I'll just tell you what happened. In the late 2014 to 2015, I was having a very difficult time in many ways in my life. And then I was in a desperate situation for God to speak to me and help me. And on the New Year's Day of 2015, I remember I woke up in a dream, and in the dream he said, the voice said, Mark 4:40. That was all I remembered. It never happened to me before. But as soon as I woke up, I opened the Bible, and it said, then he said, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? That was the verse that the voice said to me. So, okay, God, I'm going to have faith. What is the thing that I have to have faith in? And then I was desperate for a change. I needed, and I found something that I wanted to go. It's a workshop for Marketplace Christians that was being held in Kansas City in America for a few days. How can I cover the expense? And I wanted to go there with Miri as a family. It would be good to be there together as a couple. But we only had money for one person's flight ticket. And then I was thinking, I got reminded there was a budget from our company that for training purpose, for personal career development, you can use up to £1,000. And they can, if they are justified, if the manager approves and the global director approves, then I can use it. That I got reminded of that. But it's a bit crazy to ask my boss to support me going to Kansas City and IHOP and International House of Prayer and all the Marketplace Christian conference with company money. But like Ben said, there is no divide between secular and spiritual. And I believe that whatever I have is all I have is His, and all He has is mine. When I abide in Jesus, and Jesus abides in me. So I just went ahead to my boss and made a proposal to him. I want to go there and blah blah blah. And he said he was reading it and he was shocked. Why are you going to Kansas City? What is there? There is nothing automotive. He doesn't know anything about it, you know. And then, but there was But what I wanted to do is I didn't want to lie, because God is gonna work. If it's not, then He's not gonna make it work. Then I shouldn't have to lie to make it work. So I put it all there. So it was a Daniel Company Edge that runs the thing, and it was about innovation entrepreneurship for marketplace Christians. And it's closely related to Joseph International, which is the spin-off of International House of Prayer in Kansas City, blah, blah, blah. And I think it would be great for me to think differently. Romans 12:2. I didn't put Romans 12:2, but it's think differently. And then, am I okay? Yes, quickly. So I basically did that, and my boss said, okay, let's try. But there are many steps. So he had to approve, HR manager had to approve, and the finance manager had to approve, and global director of design had to approve, and the CEO had to approve. So 1 week later, HR and the finance approved. And so I was waiting for the approval from global head of design, who was a personal friend of my previous manager, who was somehow not liking me. he didn't like me. And I have to say thank my congregation who prayed for me with my previous manager. Then he saw me and he said, you are going to US. And how did you know? Don't worry, it's being rejected. It's in the head of design's office. It's being rejected. He was doing that in front of many people to embarrass me. And so I was disappointed. I told Miri, maybe, you know, we've gone too far, but I don't regret because we tried. But Miri said, why don't you pray? So we prayed. The next morning, I knew my boss was going to have a meeting with his boss, who's global head of design, and I was preparing for an answer. In case I'm called into the meeting, then I have to answer, justify the reason I was going to a Christian event with company money. So I was preparing for an answer. But I had a good answer because that would really benefit me and that would benefit the company. But he didn't call me for the whole day. And then, so I went to him at the end of the day. How did it go? And he said, oh, he actually really liked it. So he wants to send you there. So head of design, I didn't have to talk to him, and he approved it, and the CEO approved it. Later on, my expense would be over £1,000, much more over £1,000. But I didn't know that the company would cover me with an extra budget, because it's a travel expense, the hotel expenses, everything would come from outside the £1,000 limit. So everything, yes.
That's amazing.
Thank you, Anna. Good morning. For the people who don't know me, my name is Chris Jackson. You wouldn't have guessed that, would you? I actually own and run a local estate agent and letting business. And I'd like to open my testimony by reading from James chapter 4, verse 13. I do need these. Bear with me. It says, look here, you people who say, today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what will happen tomorrow? For your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say is the Lord wants us to, and we live and do this or that. I've helped many people sell and rent property over 40 years. And there was a God opportunity that arose 3 years ago where I could buy a franchise and actually own my own business. This was a very exciting but also scary prospect. I felt God was prompting me to step out in faith, to open an estate agent's business that would actually help people move with his guidance and to do it with Christian ethics and principles. As both my wife, Eileen, and I struggled, should we start this business? We had a picture, and the picture was lots of doors in front of us, and these doors were neither open nor closed. We prayed that God would show us the way by either opening or closing these doors. It's a bit like the advert that's on television at the moment where the person's driving a car and he's in an urban built-up area, and every set of traffic lights he comes to, the traffic lights change to green. I don't know whether you've seen that advert. And he's absolutely amazed, as we were. And this is exactly what God did for us. We wanted him to say to us, no, this isn't right. And in fact, he did the complete opposite. He actually opened every single door and said, go for it and proceed. And that's what we did. And during this last 3 years, of course, there's been some very worrying times where the next business opportunity and where it was going to come from. But equally, we can only describe the times that have been exciting as God's grace. He has provided us with ample work, and we are still going from strength to strength. Eileen and I firmly believe that we are merely custodians for God's work in our business and our lives. About 2 years ago, I remember giving a testimony at Love Acceptance and Healing. And afterwards, a lady came up to me and said, oh, this was not just an estate agent, but a Christian estate agent. And there weren't many like me, was the comment she made. Having worked for other bosses most of my working life, I've received the odd testimonial from clients who use their services. But since opening our business, we've had many people thanking us for going the extra mile in helping them move home. I thank God for every and each day he brings opportunities to our door, and continue to pray that through his goodness and kindness, this may continue. In closing, I'd like to read verse 5 from Psalm 16. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me, and I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. Thank you.
Thank you. So, what's God saying to you about your work? And that was my challenge, really, as I was thinking about this. Because my work is not my first love, let's just say it. But it's a real blessing. But I teach speakers of other languages. I teach them English, and we deal with a lot of refugees and asylum seekers. And God has placed me there in an amazing place. And for me, it's now keeping that courage attitude of saying, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying? Should I go and speak to my boss about giving me £1,000 to go to a Christian conference? Should I try and change the culture of my company in their attitude of being less selfish? That's a big thing, isn't it? Should I step out in faith and speak for you in integrity and in working in diligence? So we're just going to spend a couple of minutes now just thinking about what our response should be to connect our faith to our work, whatever that work looks like. Could I have the last slide, Dave? So we heard Mandy saying her care group were instrumental in praying for her. We heard June saying care group was instrumental in praying for him with in a difficult situation. So I think We really do need to be seeking God. What does he want us to do in this stage in our life? Whatever that stage is in our working life. And we can recommit our work to God. That's what I need to do. And we can renew our calling to our job and see it how God sees it, as our mission field. And we can thank God that we can use our talents for his glory in every situation he places us in. And we can pray for our work. That's a challenge for me. And we need to support each other in that, asking our care group and our friends to pray with us for those that we work with and our work. So, there will be chance to pray at the end, but certainly I want to pray on our behalf to recommit our work to God and to connect our faith and our work so that we can live for his glory in every situation. So, Father, thank you for our work. And we do recommit ourselves to the jobs and the situations that you've called us to. Thank you for them. Thank you for the people that we work with. Thank you for each of them. And we ask you to give us grace as we seek to live out a radical Christian life in our situations, day by day. Jesus, we ask for the courage to keep going, to keep committed to you in those places. And Father, help us to glorify you day by day as we work. Thank you for the gift of our jobs. Amen. So we're just going to finish with a last song from the worship team. And during this song, really ask God to help you recommit this stage of your life to him, whatever that looks like. And if you'd like prayer, please come and ask. Thank you.
If you'd like to stand to join us in this last song. You know, yesterday Laurie shared with us women about being reformers in our workplaces, and I just think that's such a challenge, isn't it? Because sometimes in doing that we have to do what we don't necessarily feel like doing, or we have to do something that's really scary. But God has given us all that we need in order to be reformers for him wherever he's placed us.